the arrival of our other co-chair. And with his arrival, we will convene the meeting of the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability. And while he's preparing to take his seat, I'd like to ask the clerk to take the roll, please.
Of 12 members answering the roll. Quorum is present. I want to express my appreciation and thanks for everyone's patience. The plane was late in arriving. Anyway, we will proceed with our business. First order of business is really to reflect changes on the commission lineup. I have here a letter dated April 16th from Speaker Madigan indicating that Representative McCarthy is appointed to the Martino position on the commission. Representative Rigg is appointed, and Representative Neckritz is reappointed. So welcome to those of you who are new. And with that, we'll next move on to discuss the issues of the Howe Developmental Center, the proposed closure of the Howe Developmental Center, and that of the Tinley Park Mental Health Center. I think it would seem to me that the first matter that we ought to discuss along these lines should be whether or not we wish to incorporate both these, discuss both of these issues together, or whether we should divide the question. And I'd entertain any discussion on that. Before we hear discussion on that, however, I do wish to call to everyone's attention a letter that Representative Myers and I have received dated today requesting that the commission extend its deadline for the how portion of the equation. If you were looking, if the commission members would look in their materials, the letter reads, "Dear Senator Schoenberg, Representative Myers, I'd like to respectfully request that the Commission on Government Forecast and Accountability extend the timeline on its decision regarding the Howe Developmental Facility. Next week, I'll be retaining Ann Shannon to help me complete my assessment of the Howe facility. As a parent of a son with a developmental disability and as a former executive director of an advocacy group for persons with developmental disabilities, Ann has an extensive background in understanding the issues at hand. Extending the timeline for this decision will allow me the ability to complete my assessment in an objective and to manner and to arrive at a decision that benefits everyone involved. With Ann Shannon's assistance, I will complete my assessment in a manner that keeps resident choice at the forefront. Thank you very much for your consideration. Sincerely, Patrick Quinn, Governor." Is there anyone here from the governor's office who can tell us how much time the governor did not indicate in this letter how much time the administration wishes in order to complete their portion of the review? If you could identify yourselves for the record.
Good morning. My name is Michelle Sadler. I'm Director of Policy for Governor Quinn.
Good morning. My name is Sean Vick. I'm Chief Legislative Counsel to Governor Quinn.
So the letter does not indicate how much time you want. There had been some informal discussion of 30 days.
And could you give us a little more backstory on the governor's rationale?
We do not know exactly how long this study will take to complete. We do not anticipate that it would take longer than 5 or 6 weeks. It's indefinite how long it will take. Ann Shannon, who is described in that letter, will be working in depth with families as well as advocacy groups, as well as staff and residents. So this is quite a lot of work. As you all know, just from testimony that you have heard, it's very, very time consuming, and she plans on taking a very personal, in-depth view of approach towards assessing the situation.
So this could conceivably go longer than 30 days is what you're saying?
A bit longer, but as I said, we do not anticipate that it would go any longer than, say, 5 or 6 weeks.
And had there been an attempt previously to identify someone to help the governor with this review, or is Ann Shannon the first such person that the administration has sought to?
Yes, in fact, there was another candidate, another potential consultant for the governor to work with. That other candidate was Mary Lee Leahy, and she found that she was not able to accept the assignment.
Okay. And she was not able to accept the assignment for any specific reasons?
There were conflicts. She had some conflicts.
All right. Okay. Are there any questions or discussion members of the commission? Senator Brady. On the left side, that's why he couldn't find it.
That's right.
he'd never think to look there.
I guess I'm confused. The governor's been in office now 3 months. This issue's been pending for a lot longer. There's a lot of people in the audience and a lot of people who are, most of all, they made a decision. Why has the governor waited until this time to ask for this extension, and why would it take 5 to 6 weeks when he's been given the time? He's certainly no foreigner to Governor Blagojevich's introduction. He was lieutenant governor. He has served as lieutenant governor for the last 6 years under this administration. I mean, to come and ask us for a 30-day extension when he's been in office 3 months, he's served as lieutenant governor for 6 years, and been part of the administration, why should we grant this? This doesn't make any sense to me.
If I could respond, Senator Brady, thank you for the question. It's a fair question. Let me try to give you some insight into the rationale for the request that we're making today. In the prior administration, the lieutenant governor was not a person with whom agencies cooperated in any meaningful sense. So although he was in the executive branch of government, he had no functional working relationship.
Oh, wait a second. John Filer is working. I mean, several of the people he's kept on board, he obviously had a relationship with.
Well,
I mean, he's kept many people from the Blagojevich administration on board. You're telling me that he just all of a sudden had a relationship? I mean,
well, for the most part, we had no functional working relationship with any individual in the agency in question, and certainly no relationship that would give us regular, detailed...
We could read the newspapers and know something about this.
Well, he was, of course, familiar with it in a general sense, as any citizen would be, but the former governor himself said on the radio on more than one occasion that the lieutenant governor was not a part of his administration, and certainly instructed his staff to behave so.
Let's keep the discussion narrowly tailored specifically to this particular request.
What the governor has tried to do since coming into office is to take a very thorough, exacting review of all the facts and circumstances surrounding the Howe Development Center situation. The principle that's guided us is a fundamental one: first, do no harm. We're dealing with a phenomenon of extraordinary complexity and sensitivity. We are very, very, very concerned about taking any act because as we fear unintended consequences. So we take it with great seriousness. After that review, for the first, say, 2.5-3 months of the administration, we decided that the best course to pursue is to engage an outside consultant who can objectively and meaningfully evaluate the circumstances and come up with a recommendation that is based on wisdom, good philosophy, and good practice. And that's the approach that we'd like to take.
What's the governor's position on the other issue in front of us?
On the mental health facility?
On the mental health, yes.
He has not expressed a position on that facility at all.
So we could potentially, so that we're clear, I don't mean to cut you off, Senator Gray, so that we're clear, the administration has not requested any extension on any action for the Tinley Park facility, correct?
That's correct.
So he neither supports or opposes it?
That's correct.
Okay,
or opposes you making a specific action today?
Well, he does oppose us taking action today.
Not with respect to Tinley.
I understand that. I guess he just, we had an extension. I think we've already passed a 30-day extension.
We did give an extension. We did stop the clock for the impeachment, and we, Co-Chair Myers and I did send a letter to the governor providing an extended time frame, and we are a day or so past that.
This is a difficult decision for all the members of this commission. I just think it's irresponsible of the governor at this late stage to come in with a letter and ask us to delay this decision. My opinion is the worst thing we can do is to be indecisive. But we should make a decision as a commission and move forward for all those affected. And I just can't fathom why we would grant an extension at this late date, even for the governor. He's been in office for over 3 months. He served as lieutenant governor for 6 years. He should be able to make this decision without a consultant.
If I may, these are all very difficult decisions. Your decision regarding whether you choose to extend your timeline or not, that's a difficult one. The decision to close the Howe Developmental Center or not is also a difficult decision, although many, many different individuals have very strong opinions one way or the other. I will share with you that I am one of the staff persons who visited the Howe Developmental Center one day in early March at this point. And while we were there, there was a very unfortunate incident that happened, a medical emergency in which one of the residents lost his life. This was a really horrible and extraordinary experience. After having that experience, I immediately called the governor and told him about this, and that's when he started considering bringing on an independent consultant to help with this assessment. We have very knowledgeable people within the administration who have come to a recommendation for closure. We, however, that morning spent 3 hours listening to parents of residents tell us why, to them, it's so important not to close the facility. And the governor needs to listen to all parties concerned. I understand that it's frustrating to many to have him request this extension, but I also recognize the seriousness with which he's treating this and really feels like it needs his most careful and deliberate attention, and that's what he'd like to do. He's not asking for, he expects that this will take place, completion of his assessment will take place within a finite period of time. You have the name of the person who he will be bringing on board next week. Again, I know that this is a difficult request to present before you, but he just wants to take all of the time to speak individually, to have Ann Shannon speak individually with families, staff, residents, and advocacy groups who have very intimate knowledge of the situation.
All right. Thank you. Before we get any deeper, I know a couple other members want to be recognized. Before we get any deeper in the discussion, I want to remind the commission members that this proposed transaction was presented to us as a single transaction for two separate facilities joined by, we talked about this a great deal over previous meetings, but they were presented to us as one single transaction. So I stand corrected. We should decide. We had one hearing for two separate transactions. We should decide before we proceed further, it seems to me, whether or not we wish to divide the question on the consideration of both issues, or whether we want to acquiesce to the governor's request and for how, but proceed with Tinley Park. My personal view, for what it's worth, is that I don't like the fact that it's so open-ended. I don't like the 11th hour nature of this. I kind of share some of that frustration as well. I don't like the open-ended nature of the request. By the same token, I also am a bit sympathetic towards the burden of challenges that the incoming governor has faced in a relatively short period of time. Personally, I could go for 30 days, no more, 5-6 weeks, no. I could be, as a courtesy to the incoming governor, to the new governor, I could be supportive of 30 days, but I could not provide anything beyond that, and I don't know how other members feel. Does anybody have any opinions? Rigg, Trotter, Severson, Neckerts.
Thank you. As a new member of the commission, I guess I'd just like to get some clarification, because I share Senator Brady's concern that this has just been extended due to circumstances beyond anyone's control. So that makes the governor's position understandable. However, I'm a little unclear, and I can get clarification on how this commission's decision impacts the governor's actions. And so I thought I understood it prior to being on the commission that this was an advisory vote, but this is the decision of the governor. So am I correct? Can I understand it that way?
You're correct.
So a decision by...
Some of us would like to change the law.
I know that piece of it. But, so our current situation is that this is strictly an advisory vote based on information that was gathered through hours of hearings and testimony, and then the ensuing input that we received from a lot of the stakeholders. So I'm thinking that the vote today, I'm unclear on the impact that has on the governor's decision in terms of his going forward with his own assessment. I understand he's need to own the decision that he's about to make, but I believe the commission is prepared to own the decision they're about to make.
Okay. Yeah, there's no need to respond to every comment that every commission member makes.
Am I understanding it correctly?
No, you're absolutely correct.
Thank you.
Senator Trotter.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I have no problem with that. I guess there's three parts here in dividing the question, as stated. With that being said, is because it is a serious situation. We're dealing with these people's lives as well as the employees and their lives and how they deal with their families. But my concern is by delaying, giving another 30 days or 6 weeks, is we have to also look at the fiscal responsibility. It's, as I understand it, we have $61 million to run this facility. And as we're going through our appropriation process, do we set aside $61 million or their just transitional closing costs that we have to think about as well? Another 30 days will put us in June. I think it's the intent of this General Assembly to be out of here by the end of May. So as we think what we want to do today, I think that's a concern that also needs to be put on the table.
Okay, thank you. Senator Stevenson.
Well, a few things. I agree with this. This is as a committee, this is only an advisory vote, but I think it's an advisory vote that should be taken very seriously by the administration, because the decisions we make, we strongly hope and encourage that the administration, regardless of what the issue is, that they will take this into consideration. Otherwise, it negates the work that this commission does. In following up with Senator Trotter's question regarding the budgeting, it's now my understanding that the governor's proposed budget, in one way or another, fully funds the program. The budget only has enough funding in it for 6 months, but the balance of 6 months have been funded under the line items and other facilities. So am I correct to say, regardless if that decision gets delayed or not, for the most part, the funding for this is in place?
I think the way you characterize the governor's budget proposal is correct, but when we say the funding is in place, I mean, it's a function of whether you enact those appropriations.
Right. As introduced.
Correct.
The funding is there for the whole year, I think, if I'm correct in that.
I can agree with that. My question is that is as introduced, but as we go
right, exactly.
Our process, negotiating process, what do we do as we're looking at balancing that together?
Right, what do we end up doing? So the other question is, and I don't have an answer, the longer we delay, are we still having an issue about getting the matching dollars for this facility? And so do we have a problem that by delaying this longer, that this continues to be a full GRF funding versus losing the match if they were moved to other facilities?
Yeah, and my understanding is that you continue to not receive federal matching funds as long as you provide care in this context.
Okay, so the longer the delay does have a fiscal impact. Even though introduced, it's funded, we are losing dollars because of this longer delay.
Right, you would save money if this care was provided at an institution eligible for federal matching dollars.
It's a significant impact. We're talking about $60 million in lost Medicaid matches, match dollars. And the governor recognizes the...
That's if it went for the whole year.
That's correct. So, and he does recognize the import of the loss of those funds, and it is a factor in this whole equation.
Okay. And it does go to the question of why... it's taken so many months for a person and for another consultant to say they had a conflict and then to find a new one. And is he going to be relying on that new consultant more than he is relying on the current department? And does he have confidence in the current department in their information and recommendations? Is he going to have more reliance on? And does that, again, just end up delaying what has been the recommendation of to him from his staff? And I guess following up on that, I can't imagine that he's going to have the time to be concentrating on this issue for the next 4 or 5 or 6 weeks, when all the time is going to be concentrating on budgetary issues. So will this end up being even longer than that period of time? Because if that consultant comes back with different views than what his staff that he trusts and works with is coming up with, then what is he going to do? And so I guess I have concerns of why it took so long to get a second consultant, and is he not confident in the staff's decision? And there is a problem with the cost. Every month we wait does cost us a significant amount amount of dollars. And so what does he believe the next 60 days is going to change? And if his consultant comes back with a recommendation different than what his staff is, what is he going to do with this? Is he going to rely solely on what his consultant is saying or staff is saying?
He does have confidence in his staff and values their thoughts and the assessments that they have made. However, after hearing from families, he recognizes that there are factors beyond the fiscal impact. Factors beyond the fiscal impact, and that has to do with the lives and well-being of nearly 300 residents of the Howe facility. He also recognizes that those residents may be at some risk because there have been incidents that have jeopardized residents. He recognizes that as well. But given that there are families and parent associations that are asking him to take a hard look at how this will impact their family, how this will impact their children, he wants to make sure that all factors have been considered, from statewide fiscal impact to the individual level.
Mr. Chairman, I would follow your lead in that, and I agree. I think the homework has been done. The reports are there. I think the person can make an assessment in 30 days, and it shouldn't take longer than that since all the preliminary work and reports are done to be reviewed. So I think the compromise of a 30-day cap on that is something I could support, and I think that is a very fair offer to do it that way.
Thank you. Are you making a motion that we do make a motion then that we extend?
I'd be willing to make that motion at the appropriate time.
I think this is the appropriate time. I'm sorry, Senator, Representative McCarthy, Representative Bella.
That's all, Chairman Schumer. Comes with one question. It had to do with, I have no problem with dividing the question. I have no problem with some short delay. But I don't know what the rules are in the commission, being this is my first half hour on the commission. But as Senator Trotter said, it's to interfere with the budgeting process. I mean, are we stuck to a 30 or 60 day minimum, or could we say by May 22nd, which is actually 24 days, but that gives us at least a full week to work on the budget process and maybe make it clear that that's when we want to take the vote on May 22nd, which would be a Friday, 9 days before the end of our session, and it gives the budgeters a little bit more time, because we all have to act like we deliberate on this budget for the last 3 months, but over the last 2 or 3 days is very, very important. We're 30 days to put us all the way to May 28th before we have this meeting. So I don't know if that's a reasonable suggestion or not, but I would really advise you, and being there, I certainly would not object to a delay in that, but or the division of the question today. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Bellick.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to ask if there's any mandate on the governor's behalf after CAGFA makes their advisory recommendation that he enact that within a certain period of time.
There is no legal requirement. We're silent on that.
Okay. So no matter what this committee gives as an advisory recommendation, he has as much time to act on it as he wants.
Yes, in the previous instances where we've had to deal with facility closures, we were also dealing with an administration that had publicly stated they didn't care what we thought, and that they were going to move ahead with whatever plans, irregardless of what the commission or the facts happened to present.
And if I may, Ann Shannon has committed to working with all of you, the members of CAGFA. This governor, and I don't believe that I'm stepping out of line by saying this governor very much wants to work with all of the members of CAGFA, and Ann Shannon will be hopes to work in lockstep with you to understand each of your perspectives about this. And her recommendation for the governor will offer the perspective of how does the state manage the treatment? How does the state care for persons with developmental disabilities? What's the broader picture even beyond the Howe developmental facility?
Okay. Senator Severson, did you want to make a motion? I think the questions are already divided. I misspoke. Sorry.
The question divided, and then I would ask, I would ask that we grant the governor the extension, but limit that to 30 days to have that report done. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Is there a second for that motion? Seconded by Senator Schreider. Clerk, please call the roll.
Representative
Ella. The question was already inherently divided. So the question before us is to acquiesce to the governor's request for an extension. He didn't specify a time amount. Senator Severson moved no more than 30 days.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the concern of the governor, and I know Ann Channing personally. I just feel that we've been involved in this issue for a long time, and I think there are a lot of people's lives that are at stake, being that this is an advisory committee, and the governor has all the time to work with Ann Channing after this anyways. I don't agree with extending it at this time. So,
no.
Thank you.
Senator Brady?
No.
Senator Farag?
Yes.
Representative McCarthy?
Yes.
Senator Murphy?
No.
Representative Myers?
No.
Representative Nekritz?
No.
Representative Ho?
Yes.
Representative Rigg?
No.
Senator Schoenberg?
Yes.
Senator Severson?
Yes.
Senator Trotter?
Yes, but I would like to encourage the governor to try to do it before the 28th as per McCarthy's recommendation. The more time we can work on it, the better. Then I'm a yes.
We have
6 yes, 6
no.
There are 6 voting yes, 6 voting no. 7 votes are required for a motion majority. So the motion to extend the 30 days fails. Unless anyone wishes to have a change of heart. Okay, the motion fails. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your consideration.
All right, on the issue of then a recommendation for closure of the Howe Developmental Center. Is there a motion on the floor? Representative Nekritz.
Well, since I previously staked out a very public position on this at our last meeting on this, I make a motion that the recommend that Howe be closed.
Thank you. I think the motion before the commission is pursuant to the State Facility Closure Act 30 ILCS 608. After hearing testimony regarding the proposed closure of Howe Developmental Center in Tinley Park, Illinois, that the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability accept the recommendation for closure submitted by the Illinois Department of Human Services regarding Howe Developmental Center. Further, the Commission shall formally file the advisory opinion to accept the recommendation for closure with the Department of Human Services, the Governor, the General Assembly, and the Index Department of the Office of Secretary of State on or by May 8th, 2009. That's the motion.
I did not have that committed to memory, so yes, that would be the motion.
Just thought I'd help you out. Is there a second on the motion? Seconded by Representative Rigg. Is there any discussion?
Yeah.
Senator Severson.
Just a question regarding if my understanding is most likely the governor will continue to move forward with his consultant either way. If something new comes to light, or if that consultant has new information, do they have the ability to bring that information before this committee? And if there was such a desire, could the committee at that point reconsider its decision? If in fact that were the case, to reconsider its decision on the closure. I guess my concern is I don't want to take away from the importance of this commission and the
the desire for our goal to have the administration follow the decisions of this committee. And so is that something that can be done?
Is there a do-over?
Or change a
reconsideration
in light of new information that may come up.
I do believe that once the recommendation has been filed with the appropriate bodies, and that would be honored by May 8, 2009, that the commission's recommendation would not be reversible. So is there any further discussion on this question? All right, the question is, shall the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability accept the recommendation for closure submitted by the Department of Human Services regarding Howe Developmental Center? Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Bellock?
Yes.
Senator Brady?
Yes.
Senator Frerichs?
No.
Representative McCarthy?
Yes.
Senator Murphy?
Yes.
Representative Myers?
Yes.
Representative Necklace?
No.
Representative Poe?
No.
Representative Wigg?
Yes.
Senator Schoenberg?
Aye.
Senator Severson?
Yes.
Senator Trotter?
No.
Yes,
total of 9 voting yes, 3 voting no, none voting present. The recommendation will be so reported and filed with the appropriate parties on or by May 8, 2009. Next order of business is the issue of whether to accept the recommendation for closure of the Tinley Park Mental Health Center. In your background, in your briefing materials, you'll note that pursuant to requests by commission members regarding more details on the proposed, on those who have responded to the request for information, there is additional background information on both what the plans are and as well as how each of these private parties would seek to pay for them. Is there a motion on the issue of Tinley Park? Anyone wishes to move to either close or not accept the recommendation to close? There's a question. Senator Trotter.
Just from some individuals that have spoken to my office and to me personally, I said part of the idea of selling or closing Tinley Park is this land grab. Is there any truth to that? There's some developers already out there waiting to purchase this land, and that being the case, is this a fair market price per acre that we're looking at?
The I think it's fair to say that one of the issues, and I'm willing to be corrected by someone who knows better, that the we all have a property evaluation for the property. Does it it does not say?
I don't think the two go hand in hand.
Okay. This has been a consistent criticism, Senator Trotter, but I think you'll see in here you have the background information on the average on comparables for the price per acre. And based on this, it's the commission's estimate that the 295 acres would be worth approximately $289,800 per acre, or approximately $85.5 million, which is probably significantly less than had been originally anticipated before the most recent downturn in the real estate market.
Right. So again, that's the question: were these numbers here calculated, since there was no formal appraisal? Were these? So they're declined. So these are not real numbers.
That's the, we don't have an appraisal, so this is the best that we can come up with, lacking an appraisal. Senator Brady.
I understand how they're connected, but I think they're two separate issues. What I understand, if we close, then it'll be up to the state on how they dispose of it, and whether it's the right time in the marketplace or not. We may choose to hang on to it for a couple of years until the market comes back, but the fact of the matter is, I think they're two separate issues, are they not?
Yes.
I guess my concern was, again, since we've come out of an environment of pay to play, was there already someone set aside that was going to purchase these?
I don't think the law allows for that. There would have to be an open process for the highest bidder to buy the land. There's no pre-cut deals under the disposition of property. So one issue is whether or not this is a facility that ought to continue to operate. The other would be to receive the right advice from professionals about how we sell it, and that would be to the highest bidder.
I'm not questioning anyone's integrity here, just asking a question.
Thank you. So, in your back, before this, we can keep this on track. In our background materials, in the absence of having a formal appraisal, which likely would have been an anachronism in the first place, from the time we met in Finley Park. In addition to that, there is also background information that each of the respondents provided for how they would plan to finance it. I know I asked about this specifically, and other members expressed interest too. Those responses that we've received thus far range everything from lease purchase agreement where a 501c3 would be established specifically for the development of the project, so that would be certificates of participation financing. There is one entity that says that they would finance themselves, that they indeed would be able to provide the financing. There's another entity that they happen to be a publicly traded company. Then there are others that were less specific or declined to answer altogether. Representative Myers.
I guess I still have a lot of questions, but looking at the background information that we have, it says the state is considering options to construct a new facility or find existing space. In other words, they don't have a plan yet, other than the current Tenley Park complex. And I think somewhere in here it says that one of the possibilities is to even construct a new hospital on the current grounds. They have acreage in that facility, and one of the possibilities was constructing a new hospital on those grounds, tearing down all the other hospitals. And so we just don't have any. Unlike the Howe facility, we don't know what they're going to do with this, other than consolidate the current services in one building, in the Maple building. And other than that, we don't have any idea how they're going to proceed with building a new hospital.
So therefore, do you prescribe a particular course of action that we should take today?
You want to hand me that sheet where I can make the motion?
Sure.
McCarthy made a motion.
I don't think so.
McCarthy made a motion.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so there's, is there any further discussion on the motion, on the recommendation? What Representative McCarthy moved was that pursuant to State Facility Closure Act 30 ILCS 608, after hearing testimony, the proposed closure of Tinley Park Mental Health Center in Tinley Park, Illinois, Representative McCarthy moved that the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability not accept the recommendation for closure submitted by the Department of Human Services regarding Tinley Park Mental Health Center, and furthermore that the Commission should file the requisite advisory opinions to accept the recommendation for closure with the Department of Human Services, the Governor, the General Assembly, and the next Department of the Office Secretary of State on or by May 8, 2009. So the motion before us is to accept the recommendation for closure. Is there any further discussion? If there's no further discussion, before we call the roll, I have to say that I'm inclined to agree with Representative Myers. There seems to lack a coherent plan of what to do with Tinley Park. And as I think I've indicated to commission members as well previously, from my view, the rush to do this does not seem to sync up with the economics of the real estate market or the credit markets. So I'm inclined to take Representative Myers' position. Representative Crowe.
And I totally understand Representative Myers and your position, but what it looks, if the motion is on the table, and if that doesn't pass, then you're sending a signal out there that you're not going to close it. So somewhere along the line, there should have been something in some motion. You're not making that decision today. You're making a decision to further study it. But I think the motion we're going to be voting on is just send the wrong signal out to the public and the press that you took a position not to close it. So I just think there's some things here that could be out in the public that's not quite right.
Senator Stevenson. All right, Representative McCarthy withdraws the motion.
The motion doesn't give a time frame for closure. It just says we accept the recommendation. There's nothing in there that says that accepting the recommendation means that the administration is going to do that within the next period of time. We're just agreeing that they should work towards that at some point, whether it's done now or at some point down the road when the study is done, or homework is done, or the market is right. There isn't a time frame in there. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So not as we necessarily have to address these issues. We're just agreeing that eventually that should be done after some of these concerns are answered. So if that's the case,
well, he's just withdrawing the motion.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, there's not a time frame that we're not rushing, saying do this, or we don't have a game plan. We're just following what they're recommending, and they'll come back with those recommendations as well. I'll make that motion if we need to.
So would you like to make a motion since there's no motion currently before us?
Sure. I guess I recommend that we accept the governor's motion on the closure of this facility. Well, does the current governor has no stance in this particular issue one way or another?
The current governor has not indicated any position either in support or opposing his department's.
Well, I guess that's an issue too. It's kind of hard for us to follow. No recommendation then.
for that, how we make the recommendation, how do we, who's making the...
Who's making? Well, no, the question that you're asking is it the administration's recommendation? You could argue that the fact that the current governor has not withdrawn the recommendation of his predecessor means that they are supportive of the current position of the Department of Human Services. The Department of Human Services has not altered its position on this transaction with the change in administrations. So what was that motion that you wanted to make?
Both.
Correct. And they have not withdrawn. All right, so your motion is...
Accept the recommendation.
Here's the... Read the first paragraph, will you? Yeah.
Move the commission accept the recommendation submitted by the Department of Human Services regarding the Pinley Park Center.
Okay, thank you. Is there any discussion? Representative McCarthy, then Representative Myers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you're going to leave the area, it's Pinley Park Mental Health Center, because representing both Holland and Pinley Park Mental Health Center, both in the southwest corner of my district, there's always been talk about Pinley Park Mental Health Center years before we ever mentioned Holland. In fact, we assured the parents of Holland many, many times that while closure was being brought forth for the Mental Health Center, that was not including Holland at that time. But there's also some, I think, relatively strong guarantees from the prior administration that money that would be obtained from the sale of the grounds of the mental health center would be used to build a new mental health facility for the south suburbs. Because when this closes, we're going to have a pretty vacant spot there. And my question is, as far as the recommendation of the Department of Human Services, do they still agree that they will use these financial resources in order to make sure that there is a facility built that can service the current population that are being served by Pinley Park Mental Health Center? Because that was, when it was a standalone closure, that was always the belief. And the other question is, on the evaluation that is in our materials here, is that for the entire property? Because we talk about these two separate things, but they're really one big piece of land. You can't tell where one stops and the other one starts.
It is for the entire parcel, yes.
It is for the entire parcel, both Howell and the Pinley Park Mental Health Center. So I could certainly use some more information going forward from there. And to answer some of Trotter's question, there are many, many people in the community that are interested in what's going to happen to that land. It's mostly open land for those commission members who have been able to visit it. And the open land and a lot of vacant buildings. But there are many youth organizations in our area that use that for soccer fields and baseball fields and many other things. And in addition, the local village that falls within Timber Park is very, very interested in seeing what happens to this property, and I'm sure the property value of that would have to do with how they zone that property. If they adhere to the wishes of many of the local residents, who had a significant part of that property would continue as being open land and available for fields and things of that nature, sporting events, that's certainly going to reduce the amount of the value to the individual purchaser. And plus, there's many long-held beliefs there, and whatever prior evaluations have been made, I don't have access to them right now, but the value of that property is going to be significantly altered depending on what they find when they start doing the due diligence of actually assessing the property. Because there's many beliefs, these are buildings that are all built like in the 40s and 50s, and there's many beliefs that there's going to be a lot of problems as far as selling that property because of what they're going to find when they start knocking down some of these buildings. And there's even been stories that this may cost the state money to get rid of this property instead of the opposite being a windfall. So I don't think there's any windfall there. But I do know that many, many members of the General Assembly, both in the House and the Senate, for the Southwest suburbs and the South suburbs, are very concerned that there be some facility there that could meet the needs of the mentally ill in our area.
Thank you. Representative Myers, and then Representative Gray.
My comments earlier were based on our past experiences as a commission taking testimony before the hearings. And I think in every single case when we have had a closure facility hearing, we have heard from the agencies, we have heard from the opponents and the proponents of closure of a facility, and we have received the facts. And in some of those cases, we agreed with the facts, and in other cases, we disagreed with the facts. My concern is that in listening at that testimony that we had in Tinley Park regarding how in Tinley Park Mental Health Center, we had many presentations on the facts for the Howe Developmental Center, both the opponents and proponents, and we took a decision based on our interpretation of those facts. My concern is listening to the testimony in Tinley Park, I don't think we've received all of the facts. I think there are still many questions to be answered with regarding, and here's the thing, the Division of Mental Health has not said that this is a closure. This is a relocation, in essence. This is taking a consolidation into the Maple building for the current facility, eventually tearing that down when they get a new hospital built. So they're not really going to close Tinley Park per se. They just want to relocate into another facility. But the facts are not there as to how they want to carry that process out. Do they want to build? Do they want to remodel an existing facility? Where do they want to build if they do build a facility? I guess my concern is a basic lack of facts in this particular recommendation from the Division or Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health.
Thank you. Representative Rigg and Representative Dalek.
Thank you. I think there's a lot of confusion around this issue that it relates to the fact that in terms of the planning, it's been difficult to proceed until a decision has been made about the existing facilities. And so in working with the Disability Services Committee in the House, we have had more opportunity to get background than perhaps this commission has had the benefit of. And so I think the important thing to remember is both of these facilities have failed to capture the federal dollars that we need as a match to our investment in state dollars. And so on the mental health side, there are opportunities to rebuild a mental health center. My understanding is there is a very strong commitment that there will not be a lack of services in the South Suburban area, but that we need to do it differently. And there are opportunities, and there's legislation pending in the Senate that would require, if we aren't leaving it up to anybody's discretion, it would require that the sale of property that is used currently to serve the state's developmentally disabled and mentally ill would be reinvested in that system. And so for the department to proceed with the plan that would provide us the answers that I hear people are looking for, they need to know what their revenue stream is for that. And so there are a lot of unanswered questions, but I believe the fact that we're failing to capture our federal match in and of itself demonstrates that the facility needs the change. It needs to be restructured, and we need to make that decision so that the department and the governor can go ahead with their planning, and that all of that then will come back in, probably not to this commission, but to members of the General Assembly for further review and understanding and going forward to meet the needs. There's been, for the mental health services, there's been a long-standing task force that developed the perspective on what the needs were and what it should look like. The department has looked at different opportunities that would encourage doctors to want to work in a facility, which would mean that we could get our federal dollars. Right now, we're losing federal dollars because the rates are so low, we can't keep good doctors at our mental health centers. So it's part of a system situation, and again, I believe that had the circumstances not come up that derailed this whole process, we would have more information and we would have more input from the people that need it. But they're really depending on some direction direction of, you know, is this the facility we're going to continue to invest in, or are we moving Illinois into a better place in terms of providing mental health services? So I fully support the decision to accept the recommendation that this facility be closed, with the understanding that the commitment is that there will be a mental health center in the same region.
Thank you. Representative Dalek.
Thank you very much. I think Representative Wynn described it well. And I think there was a press conference held on September 5th, 2008, saying that they were going to build a new mental health facility that would take care of the people at Tinley Park, and it would be a state-of-the-art psychiatric facility. So that is my understanding, and I think with the way government works, unless we take a position here, that will never happen. And so my commitment is to accept the recommendation, and that the DHS and the administration hold up to their commitment that they made on September 5th, that there will be a new state-of-the-art psychiatric facility in that area to treat the mentally ill.
Any other members who wish to be recognized? I just want to add then, during this discussion phase before we call the roll for the vote, that there's nothing, it would seem to me that if this motion to close were to fail, then there's nothing that would preclude the Quinn administration from withdrawing the request that was made under its predecessor, coming back with a more detailed plan on what specifically they sought, the Quinn administration sought to do. That's actually who the Department of Human Services works for. And then to submit a new plan based on that recalibrated strategy. So having said that, is there any further discussion? Representative Neckerts.
I would just like to say that I feel the same as Representative Myers, that I think the discussion reflects a lot of confusion on the commission. But if there be a motion on the table, I'm going to support it, but I would hope that as we move through this, we can make, you know, somehow there's a mechanism for us to make sure that it's proceeding as we thought it would.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Is there any further discussion? Okay. Seeing none, then will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Dalek, yes. Senator Brady?
Yes.
Senator Brennan?
No.
Representative McCarthy?
As I say, I'm hungry for more information, and I came here today thinking this is going to be the easy vote, and how I was going to get the tech vote, but I'm going to vote present because I really want more information.
Senator Murphy?
Yes.
Representative Myers?
No.
Representative Neckrins?
Yes.
Representative Poe?
No.
Representative Riggs?
Yes.
Senator Schoenberg?
No.
Senator Severson?
Yes.
Senator Trotter?
Yes.
Seven yes, four no, one present.
Total of seven voting yes, four voting no, one voting present. The recommendation, the motion carries. On behalf of my co-chair, Representative Myers, we appreciate your patience in waiting through this, these two complicated issues. Seeing no further business before the commission, I'll stand adjourned.